Paul Lambert und Karl-Heinz Riehle 1:0 für Borussia Dortmund.
Alan McInerney, meine Damen und Herren.
So welcome back to another German football podcast. And in usual German football standards, we've got far too much to talk about in the amount of time we've got, but we'll have a crack at it anyway and try to make sense of the Bundesliga being the Bundesliga, basically. But we're joined by Colin again. Colin, how you doing, mate?
I'm all right. It's been a crazy week. I don't think I'm even up to date in everything that's happened, so I'll let you be in charge of that.
Oh, great, because I was hoping you'd take the lead, because I have no idea what's happening either. We've also got George on with us today. George is going to join us, like Robert did, as a kind of regular guest, which is really exciting to have you on board, George. So can you make any sense of everything that's going on recently?
No, I think I'm similarly confused, a bit exhausted with how the Bundesliga has been in the last week or two. Bit too much going on, but I suppose we'll do our best at trying to digest it and trying to make sense of it all.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be an interesting one. So it's going to probably be out of date by the time this goes out tomorrow, but we should maybe start with the managerial merry-go-round that's going on in the Bundesliga just now. It's absolutely crazy. There could be, what, like 10 new managers next season in the Bundesliga for... More than half the clubs are going to end up having a new manager or a manager that's only been in place from 2021 next season, which is kind of crazy. Colin, first of all, Nagelsmann has made his move to Bayern Munich. That's been confirmed. What's your thoughts on that, first of all? Is it something that you thought was going to happen so soon, or do you think that it was all really pushed along further because of what was going on with Hansi Flick?
Yeah, I think it's the kind of appointment that always seemed like an inevitability. Nagelsmann himself had previously spoken quite favourably about taking the job. Like, growing up as a Bayern supporter coming from Bavaria, which for Bayern is very important with their strong Bavarian identity to have a manager that ties in with those values. So it always did seem like something that was going to happen. I wouldn't have said, like, the start of this season, Nagelsmann... This will be his last season at Leipzig and he'll beat Bayern next season. I thought he'd maybe have a trophy in the cabinet before making a big step like that. I suppose that's still possible with a Pokal, but it always seemed like it was something that was going to happen, maybe not so soon. But I think it's a really good appointment for Bayern. He'll fit in well.
Yeah. Do you think, George, that this spending money on managers is going to become a new trend, if you will, and it's going to be something that's going to happen and you're actually going to see managers go for more than Scottish players would go in the normal market now? It's kind of crazy, but do you think that's going to be a normal thing? Managers been spending money on managers, basically. You've seen Gladbach do it this year. You've seen Dortmund do it. Now Bayern's went and done it. It's kind of a strange but new technique that clubs are going for to get their managers in.
Yeah, and it's certainly a trend which is developing in German football now, like you said. The sort of obvious part of it, which makes the fee, which isn't that much in, 15 to 20 million, which makes that a little bit difficult to understand from one point of view, is I suppose there's obviously no resale value like there would be of a player. But I think Nagelsmann's a bit of an exceptional case, really. He's not really your average manager. I mean, he's 33, he's 2 years younger than Manuel Neuer, is the captain of Bayern. And I think, it's not just an exceptional case in German football or sort of in football in general, but what's going on with Nagelsmann is pretty unique to Bayern itself. I mean, he's got a 5-year contract, and I think the last Bayern manager to last 5 years was Ottmar Hitzfeld between 1998 and 2004, I think it was. And then they seem pretty, and kind of like linked to what Colin was saying, they've kind of really bought into what they see with Nagelsmann does seem really sold on him. I mean, I actually read in one of the German papers this morning something fairly remarkable stat that it was the first time in 42 years that neither Karl-Heinz Rummenigge or Uli Hoeneß had led the negotiations for the Bayern managerial job. This was predominantly led by sporting director Hasan Salihamidžić and Oliver Kahn, who's going to be the new CEO. So it's kind of, you could probably best see it as a bit of a new era for Bayern, especially with Oliver Kahn stepping up as CEO at the start of next season. You kind of think Salihamidžić, Kahn and Nagelsmann are like sort of the new front three of Bayern, if you will, certainly from that point of view. But so I think in that sense, the fee, going back to your original question, the fee, I suppose, is not really that important to Bayern. I think they probably would have ended up paying whatever it took to get him. I think Leipzig also originally were trying to charge a bit over the top. And I think the inevitability of it in the end made them settle for a little bit lower. So, it's definitely interesting that you see this trend growing in German football, especially with the sort of quality of German coaches that you see. I mean, like with the three German coaches in the four Champions League semi-finalists last season. But I don't know, it could be the start of something, or it could just be that this is a especially exceptional case.
Yeah, no, I was going to bring on to that point as well. So, Colin, I'll give that to you. So, George mentioned there about Salihamidžić and Kante, and basically they're going to be the new ones taking over at Bayern. If you look at Nagelsmann getting a 5-year deal again, like George said, that's not very common down in Bavaria. Do you think that they're still going to have the same mindset of a Bayern board of? If the manager isn't providing trophies, he's gone. If the manager isn't successful, he's going to be gone. Surely giving him a 5-year deal, if he doesn't win anything in his first 2 years, for instance, not saying that could happen, but imagine he did, do you think they would nurture that? They would go, like, this is a learning project, like things like that. Do you think that would happen? Or do you actually just see success in Nagelsmann's future and near future with Bayern anyway, that it won't have to come to this? But it's an interesting thing to look at.
If it came to that, like if it came to the fact that them going 2 years without a title or a trophy, they'd definitely have to consider that. But you can't really see that. The way things are going with the league, there's no real signs of it. Bayern's streak of titles holding up. And then with Nagelsmann, I think that will continue. So his reputation really is so high as well that you can't really see that happening. So you can understand why they've given him the 5-year deal, because he's such a young coach. I think he's the first coach in a while you see at Bayern that they can definitely build something long-term around. He's never really saw coaches in the past like Ancelotti and Kovac is really being something that he could build long-term success around in the same way as Nagelsmann. Like a 5-year deal, I couldn't have seen either of those coaches staying that long. So, Nagelsmann's a bit of a different case. To answer your question, like in that scenario, yes, they'd have to consider that, but you can't see that happening really. I can see it being a successful appointment.
Yeah, no, it's just that you look at Nagelsmann not actually having won anything, and you understand winning trophies at Hoffenheim is difficult, and you know they've not really. I feel like this was the year of Leipzig. Could have actually went for the title a bit more. Leipzig could have went a bit further. They decided not to go with that like prolific striker after losing Timo Werner last summer. And I know there was a lot of COVID issues with Huang, but they never really went for that striker. And you think if they had that striker, there'd be still a tight title race going on at the moment. So it's interesting to see how he progresses. But that's probably the next question for George, is like the progression. Do you see him overhauling this squad? Do you think he's going to come in and make changes? Or do you think he's going to play with what he's got at the moment and gradually make changes into a Nagelsmann side? Obviously, he's got Upamecano coming in. But like, do you see him keeping likes of like Marco Roca, for instance, who's not really set them alight when he has played like players like this, do you think he may have a clear out and start again, or do you think it'll take him time to implement that?
Well, I think with Nagelsmann, he's primarily a coach more than a what you'd consider a manager. He's much more focused on, as in he's much more focused on the coaching side than the sort of the recruitment, and that's kind of well, he kind of had to be like that at Leipzig because they've obviously got their uniquely tailored transfer policy of only signing younger players and looking within the sort of Red Bull sort of whatever you want to call that. So I think, you know, principally he'll probably, I can't see him wanting to get too much involved with the recruitment and sort of the backroom side of it. I mean, if anything, the case of Hansi Flick, who also went into the job as more of a coach than a manager, the way that kind of fell apart from him when he was, when he got too involved with having a say in the transfers, ultimately led to him falling out with sporting director, and then it's kind of what led to his departure in the end. So I think I can't imagine that he'll try and overhaul the side. Like I said, he's got good players coming in. Yeah, I think it'll be much more about developing the players he has got, and especially when you think about some of the players that are there that still are probably not getting the best out of them. Probably Sané is the best example of that. You can really see that because, you know, with Leipzig, you see they actually do create a lot of chances. It's kind of just their own fault that they can't score them, like you said. So you'd look at someone like Sané and hope that it, under Nagelsmann, he's really the kind of coach that's going to maximise the best of sort of the world-class players he does have at his disposal, which are potentially underperforming at this point, rather than looking elsewhere. Although I've no doubt that that will happen in time anyway, but not sure that will be sort of his prerogative.
Yeah, no, it'll be good to see what his team is the next season, like what lineup he goes with, if he sticks with what like Hansi Flick's kind of done with the team, if he completely changes the, you know, the start 11 and, you know, implements players that he thinks, like you said, George, he can get the best out of, because that's the, I think that's definitely the type of coach he is. He gets the best out of players. And I'd really, for instance, I'd love to see the progression. Obviously, Alphonso Davies has been fantastic, but I'd love to see progression from him under Nagelsmann, because he's still at a good young age to make that progression. Thinking about in the future, like, and going a bit hypothetical, kind of last point on Nagelsmann, Colin, do you see, he's obviously got a good pedigree of bringing youth players through. Do you think we could ever see young Barry Hepburn or Liam Morrison making it their way through in the next, and within his 5-year tenure at Bayern at all? Or do you think that may be a bit step too far, and we're overthinking the Scots could be in the Bundesliga in the near future?
How old are they going to be in 5 years? They'll probably only be about 18.
They're 23, I think they're 17 just now.
No. Yeah, we'll have to see, because I think you've seen certain players progress through the second team, so it would be interesting to see if they maybe start making appearances down there. Whether that's in Dritte Liga or not, we're not sure, as they're very precariously placed in the relegation spots just now. But I'm sure we'll get onto that.
You say with a wry smile on your face. Yeah, we're going to.
But yeah, he's got that reputation. Got that reputation developing the young players, so it would be great to get them and get a chance in the team under Nagelsmann, because he would really get the best out of them.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I just came into my head while we were talking about them there, that we do have two young Scots down in Bayern at the moment that not really kept much tabs with them. But I'm sure if we ask Byron Hutchison, like people like that who take a lot of interest in Scots abroad, we could like find out if they're ever going to make it. But I think it'd be interesting to see if we can see the Scots going through under Nagelsmann in the next couple of years. Move on from Nagelsmann. There's obviously a lot of other managerial goings at the moment. We don't want to delve too much in, because, as we said at the start, this could be old news tomorrow. Like, you know, Marsh could be the Leipzig manager. It could be Glasner. It could be, I don't know, Terzic. No, well, it's not going to be Terzic, but obviously Terzic has been involved in this in some kind of way. George, coming to you first. Like, there's so much going on at the moment, it's kind of hard to keep up with, but is there any rumours and like links that you've seen that you think that could be something that goes through with any of the clubs mentioned? Choose at your will, there's about 10 of them. But is there any that you've looked at and seen, you know what, that looks like a good fit, that could be, that could happen?
Well, I think, well, Kicker reported this morning that that Jesse Marsh to RB Leipzig is more or less in the sort of final stages of progression. And you'd think that of all the ones, and I mean, you've got Van Bommel's probably going to Wolfsburg if Glasner goes to Frankfurt, and then your head starts to hurt after that. But in terms of Marsh, it's kind of, you might say that it's probably the safest option, because obviously he's kind of been groomed in the RB model, being at New York Red Bulls and then RB Salzburg, and then making the progression to Leipzig, because obviously they tend to usually play the same sort of 4-2-2-2 formation, and they all have a very similar philosophy, which was principally sort of established by Rangnick. I know that Marsh himself works quite closely with Rangnick as well, which is kind of what Leipzig will be looking for, to sort of for a continuation of that. So you'd kind of think that that's the one which has the least chance of going wrong. And obviously there's a great track record of managers coming from Salzburg into the Bundesliga. If you just look at Marco Rose or Adi Hütter. So I think that's set up well for him, and it looks like that is going to go through. But when we're recording this on Wednesday evening, so it's probably when this comes out, probably will completely change. But that one for me, I just feel like it's in this kind of unique situation that I don't want to say Red Bull, but you know what I mean. The brand is very similar in Salzburg as it is in Leipzig. So you kind of think that would allow for a pretty good continuation, especially given the success he has had in Salzburg.
Yeah, it seems like the one that's kind of most stuck on because of, like you said, we don't want to bring up the red. And I think if he has made the manager, if it's confirmed before, like before this goes out, then we, like, obviously it's a bit outdated, but once it's confirmed, then we can maybe speak about that and go in. I'm sure Colin would love to talk about that, the Red Bull links between all the clubs and why Jesse Marsh is probably getting the job. But in the couple of names that's kind of came into the fold as well, Colin, just to kind of bring you in, for instance, do you think Oliver Glasner's been overlooked by a lot of clubs? He's done a great job at Wolfsburg, and he's done really well this season maybe not in the recent games, but he's done a great job at getting Wolfsburg to where they are at the moment. Obviously difficult against the bigger teams, are kind of struggling against them at the moment, and that's probably the difference why they haven't gone further this year. But do you think Glasner's been kind of overlooked a bit, and do you think he should be more in favour for the Leipzig job, for instance, over Jesse Marsh?
Just picking up on some of the points George said, I think Marsh seems a lot more a fit for the job than coming through that Red Bull system, playing that style of football, no high press and attacking football. But Glasner, the Wolfsburg side's sort of quite based on being tough to beat, a strong defence, largely getting a lot of results through, like, maybe being very clinical with their chances. Always helps with a striker such as Wout Weghorst, who, without them, I'd be quite interested to see how well Wolfsburg would do without a striker like that, because he's really propelled them up into the Champions League reckoning. And another point, like you mentioned, that they have struggled against the big sides, and Leipzig are trying to take that next step forward. They're wanting to get further in the Champions League, because they did do it disappointingly this year, getting knocked out by Liverpool. And they want to challenge more seriously for the title. But Glasner's record against these other big sides has been quite poor. So I don't see him as good a fit as Marsh. But having said that, he really has done well with a Wolfsburg side, which really isn't the third best squad in the league, but he's got them up there. So he does deserve recognition for those achievements anyway.
Yeah. Another name that's been kind of popping up, and I think he's recently, because he's been named with so many clubs, has recently been named as a favourite for the Leverkusen job, is Gerardo Siona. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right at all. But the Young Boys Bern manager, who's won the league 2 years in a row, and I think he'd have won it again this year. I'm not an expert in Swiss football, and I'm sure, George, you're probably not yourself, but do you think that could be an interesting one coming in? Obviously, winning the Swiss league, you've seen it with Adi Hütter. He's came into German football, and there's been a good fit there straight away. Do you think you can maybe see something similar if he comes in?
Well, I think whoever goes into Leverkusen has an awfully it's got an awful lot to work with. There's a lot of potential at Leverkusen. You see that in the fact that they've eventually decided to pick up their form recently. But they're, for me, like one of the most frustrating teams in the league, because you see how they started the season, one of the best teams in the league. Then their form completely fell off a cliff. And now they're sort of getting that back together. I mean, they're both going forward and at the back. They've got some really talented young players. So I think it's probably being a bit overlooked, actually, as one of the more attractive options to go to. Also, maybe with not as much pressure, even as a job like Frankfurt, maybe. Definitely not as much as Leipzig, probably maybe comparable to Wolfsburg. So yeah, I think just in general, the Leverkusen job is a very attractive one. And it would be good to see, I'm not sure who it's going to be, but it'd be good to see whoever does go there properly get the most out of that squad, particularly those young players.
Yeah, no, there's far too many names been mentioned now. And the last one we'll talk about, Carl, I'll give to you, Stefan Baumgart. You know, we were talking about he's going to be in the Champions League next year with Frankfurt running along the line of the Bernabeu, which would be fantastic. But do you really see him making that step up to Frankfurt now? There's FC Köln are in the mix for him as well. Also been reading about Hannover, 96. They've been looking as well at him. I've been reading about that, but I feel like that's kind of sideways step. I don't know why. Obviously, it's a bigger club, bigger tradition, bigger history. But like, why would you make that sideways step just now from Paderborn to Hannover? I don't know. But have you got anything on Stefan Baumgart that you could... you think that he could end up being a Bundesliga manager next year?
Yeah, I saw the Hannover link as well. I thought that was quite strange, because I think he's probably done enough to warrant being in the frame for jobs in the top league. The only thing you can consider is maybe they aren't so keen on appointing them. Maybe looking at Paderborn sides were always quite attacking, but you got the sense they were quite naive going forward, always quite left exposed at the back, so maybe that's a concern for them. They don't think he's maybe tactically astute enough to take a top league job in Frankfurt. I know Julian said that he wanted Stefan Baumgart for the Champions League, but maybe they don't think he's quite ready for that level yet, because it is a massive step up. He did do so well getting them promoted to the Bundesliga, but they did get relegated, and they were left exposed at the back, and there has been times in the second tier that the same thing has happened. So maybe he hasn't been considered as a serious candidate for these Bundesliga jobs.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see where he goes. I think he's got, again, like, he's another manager that's got the potential to take a team and do what he did with Paderborn and just create that. Well, I don't think he could do what he did with Paderborn again, get promoted, relegated, or how many promotions he got, far too many. So it'll be interesting to see where that kind of goes. But from there, we'll finish up with the managerial stuff. Hopefully, by the time this goes out, or by the time you listen to this, they were not completely wrong with everything. And, you know, Glasner's actually the new Frankfurt manager. And Mark goes to Wolfsburg, for instance. It'll be interesting to see. So we'll move on from all the managerial merry-go-round, if you want to call it that, and we'll move into the Abstiegskampf of the Bundesliga. What's been going on there, Colin? It's been a whirlwind again. I mean, is it more exciting than this managerial merry-go-round that's going on at the moment? What's going on at the bottom? I think we'll talk about Mainz specifically, though, because of what's happened in Mainz, and it's only fair to come to you first, because I don't know what magic ball you were looking into, but in January you said Mainz will survive. Mainz will not be like Schalke. I think I can quote you and you say, I trust Mainz over Schalke to get out of this mess. How do you know? How did you know it was going to happen?
I don't know. I just... Mainz always do it. Every year, you can write them off. Previous years, you look at them and they've maybe had a tough run and been in a tough spot in the table, but they always manage to find a way. I mean, I didn't perceive it being quite so strong a run. I mean, 28 out of their 34 points have come since January, which is mad. Like, they would, if they had that form during the whole season. I think I saw a table. I don't know if it's the Rückrunde form or just the form since January that they're like fourth. But prior to that, thinking about when they had Jan Moritz Lichter in charge and they just didn't seem to have a hope, but credit to them, they've done well. And I remember in our relegation run-in saying that the final four games, they could have won any of those games. I just had a feeling like even the tough games, that they still had a chance of winning and they managed to beat Bayern. Now, I'm hoping my next prediction isn't going to come true, and that was that Werder Bremen are going to struggle. And they seem to be hurtling towards that relegation trap, though. It'd be very disappointing. I'm hoping this is a prediction that doesn't come true. We'll see.
Yeah, Ronan won't like you anymore if you've predicted his precious Bremen and they get relegated, man. It's amazing. Like, we spoke in depth about Mainz and like you said, Colin, in our kind of relegation podcast a couple of weeks ago. But George, it's just Bo Svensson's just done something special there, and it's just one of those. You know when everyone gives you that cliche of the new manager bounce and things like that? It generally happened, and it generally has been successful for a long period of time now. Is that worrying for Mainz? As like, I'm not chucking the man away already, but is it worrying for Mainz that like you've seen a manager come in, do that? He's been fantastic with the team. He's got on that great run. He's got them safety. Do you think he could be part of this new managerial, you know, changing about, or do you think that's a bit too soon to say?
As in, do I think he could leave Mainz, is that what you mean?
Yes. Do you think he could be like one of those surprise packages that ends up being like the Frankfurt manager? Well, maybe not Frankfurt because that's a bit dodgy links-wise, but something like that. Do you think that could you see that happening?
Well, you'd have to say that he's quite emotionally invested in Mainz. Obviously, he played there, and I think he doesn't strike me as being sort of determined to just catapult himself up the managerial sort of rankings to get the Bayern job, for you know, to get a top job straight away. He's kind of been biding his time for a long time now. Obviously went to Austria to Liefering, which is actually also happens to be part of the feeder club to Salzburg, which is the feeder club to Leipzig in a strange way. So yeah, he also learnt from Ralf Rangnick there. But from a few things I've read, I mean, obviously when he was at Mainz, he was also a player under Tuchel and Klopp. So, and a lot of people in Germany and around that know a lot more about Mainz than I do seem to think that he's really been sort of perfecting his craft, and now it's sort of coming to fruition. Now he's got the chance. I mean, there's reports of the training being a lot better, and the players being, there was something about sort of the players always knowing where their next pass needs to be, or sort of where their next where their teammate's going to be. And you sort of see that reflected, I suppose, in the confidence that they're playing with, and the fact that they start a front three of Burkhardt and Quaison and Onisiwo against Bayern, and like Pubs to try and capitalize on their high line that everyone knows about. So I think that, you know, the fact he's got an emotional connection to Mainz, having been a player there, and just from what I can tell about his personality and how much he's sort of getting this Mainz team to play exactly how he wants. Although he did say a funny quote about how if this was how he wanted them to play, they wouldn't be sort of conceding any goals or at all. and they wouldn't be in this position anyway. I mean, I'd be very surprised to see him just sort of randomly, you know, get the Wolfsburg job or something. But and hopefully he sort of can carry this on, or hopefully for Mainz's sake, he can carry this on to next season and achieve a glorious mid-table finish.
Just imagine the scenes. You made an interesting, I don't know if you were leading to that point, or I've just kind of thought of that point, but do you think he could become a Klopp at Mainz? You know, he's like you said, he's got an attachment to the club. Do you think he could be a Klopp at Mainz and, you know, have a really successful few years and then see where he goes? Because like you said, he's got the right mentality. He seems to get the loving from the players. Do you see a Klopp comparison there?
Yeah, I think it's sort of the burden or the sort of comparison that he'd probably try and shoot down as quickly as possible, especially because it's kind of such a classic example, especially with Tuchel being there at Mainz as well. I can imagine from his point of view that he's not, sort of the cliche, that he's trying to kind of do it his own way. But in terms of just the basic of trying to do well with Mainz and not look elsewhere for sort of the foreseeable future, I can definitely see him doing that. But I'm not going to go as far to say that he's going to be, you know, the Liverpool manager in a few years or something. But yeah, in terms of progressing well with Mainz, all the signs are there, really.
Yeah, no, it'd be interesting to see how his kind of path goes down. I was just kind of thinking that, like, I think I did read somewhere that it was linking him to Leipzig job, as you said, obviously with the links to Liefering and Rangnick. It was a bit of an interesting one, but again, I'm in agreement with you. I don't think it would be, I don't think he would think it's in his best interest to leave just now anyway. Thinking about the other teams involved, so obviously Mainz were very, I wouldn't say shocked. I mean, Colin's not shocked. He knew this in January. I thought if a team could get over it, it could be Mainz if they made that change in manager, which they did. But we all, I'm assuming we all suffered. Well, I suffered the pain of watching FC Köln 3-0 up and still not cruising the game. Obviously, 3-2 call, and it finished between Köln and Augsburg. Question one, is that a good momentum boost for Köln? And do you see that being a positive result for them going into the last few games? And the second one, does that drag Augsburg into it now? Or do you think they've still just got enough points-wise to remain out of it?
First question, well, Köln, yeah, definitely a big momentum push. Like, this time, well, before the midweek game against Leipzig that they won, then beat Augsburg, massive boost with 6 points, because you never really saw where a win was going to come from for them. They didn't look particularly threatening in games, but I think you saw the signs even in Funko's first match against Leverkusen. Even though they lost that by a few goals, they were still threatening. You thought they carried more of an attacking threat, and you definitely saw that in the first half against Augsburg as well. They're getting something from their creative midfielders, which I hadn't seen for a while. Andre Duda's brilliant goal for the first one, of course, but also scored another. Florian Kainz delivering as well. And we'd mentioned in previous weeks, these players are going to be really important for them because they've not really had much up front. So it is really quite often up to the creative players that they've been looking towards for that creativity. And Jonas Hector had to chip in and with a goal, with two goals last week as well. Just need to get these goals from around the team when players like Anderson are injured and Emmanuel Dennis, that just really hasn't seemed to work out at all. So that it's a really big boost for Köln, but it's still only taking them level in the bottom three still. So they're definitely not out of the woods yet. They just need to keep this momentum. But they do have really important games. The Hertha one we previously pinpointed, that's just such a massive game. So that's important. Augsburg, you mentioned. So it's strange because you've never really seen them as having a particularly bad season. It's just the form in the recent games. going 3-0 down to Köln is never a good sign, but just the last four games without a win has really just cast a shadow of their season. They're only 4 points clear now, so they've got 33 points. You thought a similar situation to Werder Bremen, but not as extreme, that they were a few points clear a few weeks ago and you thought they only needed maybe another win to properly ensure their survival, but that's just not come. Maybe they've just been a bit complacent in that way. I still think they'll end up just above water, but it's been unconvincing definitely to end the season. Marcus Vinci was quite a funny appointment. We obviously talked about coaching appointments, but him coming back, he was obviously so successful previously, but that was a few years ago and definitely didn't have the best of times at Stuttgart. I mean, his last visit to Augsburg Stadium was in the reigns of Stuttgart with a 6-0 defeat, which will bring back bad memories for him.
Yeah, no, it was an interesting appointment, and from what I read, that they had this lined up for a long time, like as far back as February, I'm sure I read that like they had Heiko Herrlich was going to be relieved of his duties. They left it far too long for me. I think you could see the downward spiral. I mean, we spoke plaudits of them for the start of the season because, you know, when they beat Dortmund and they were sitting, first after match day, was it match day 7, match day 8, they were still in the top 4 at least. You know, they were looking okay then. It's just a big downhill and it just hasn't worked in their favour. And it just shows that when you do get that bit of luck in the Bundesliga, if you're not one of those big clubs, you can just completely plummet. And it's happened with Augsburg. The other team, George, I'll get your opinion on Werder Bremen. When I watch Werder Bremen just now, I just don't see any leaders in that team that's going to drag them out of it. And I don't know if that's something they're just missing at the moment. You know, obviously they've been in and out with Füllkrug all season. It's just not worked out injury-wise. And, you know, maybe Gebre Selassie, you know, obviously he's a captain at the moment, but like, he seems to be the only leader on the park that's going to be able to take them out of this. And it looks increasingly worrying that Werder Bremen could slip into this. Is that your kind of thoughts as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a pretty dramatic turn in form. The seven league losses in a row looked pretty shocking in all of those as well. Hadn't looked particularly convincing beforehand either. Gabriel Stassi, like you said, scored a goal kind of went under the radar, actually. Scored for a header from about 18 yards out or something. The one thing that I would say is that there is a chance, and a small chance, that if they get a result in the Pokal, which we might go on to talk about, which is not entirely out of the picture because it's a cup, that could potentially kickstart them to kick into gear a bit. On the other hand, it might be playing on their mind a bit, and if they just get knocked out of that, get pumped by Leipzig and move on, focus on survival. I mean, for me, the most interesting thing is that 2 seasons ago, Kofeld was kind of in a comparable situation, not quite as much, but kind of in a comparable situation to the way that Nagelsmann's being spoken about. Not quite as much, but he won sort of coach of the year and everyone was like, he's the next sort of big manager, and then sort of since Max Kruse has left and David Klaassen's left, their team has not on paper got much worse, but their performances have just fallen off a cliff really, and you know, somehow ended up in the playoff last year. Honestly, looks like it could happen again this year, which is you just can't really see how that's happened again. And you do kind of have to wonder what the implications for that for Kofeld's reputation is going to be. I mean, he's definitely been linked with bigger jobs, but you kind of have to think that if these 2 seasons had not been so poor, that he probably would have got, he would have been linked a lot quicker, a lot more certainty to, you know, the Leipzig job, the sort of Frankfurt, Gladbach, when that was still available. So it's kind of the last 2 seasons have just been drastically kind of, yeah, like I said, lack of character, some pretty terrible football on show. And yeah, like the way they're finishing off this season now, it's been really, really quite terrible to watch, really.
Yeah, it's almost given me kind of similar fears of what happened to Hasval before they got relegated. Because you did see, not just comparing because of another team in the north, but you did see before Hasval did get relegated, those, like you mentioned, not a bad team on paper, but the results aren't coming, the performances aren't there, and I can see similarities in that. I'm not saying that's going to happen to Bremen, but it'll be interesting to see if they need to start. I was going to say as well that I think for Augsburg, I think if they get that one win and get to 36 points, I think 36 should be enough to survive. You'd hope, and you know, if you're thinking about Bremen, you know, they're going to need two wins to come out of this, so it's going to be difficult for Bremen. I to quote Colin in a different with different teams, I trust Bielefeld more to get over it than Bremen at the moment. I really trust Bielefeld to kind of come out of it. We won't talk about Bielefeld because, you know, obviously they get an absolute drubbing at the weekend by Gladbach. Like, that was, what, 3 goals in the first 20 minutes? But, like, if you get the title, like, I think it was like 3 goals in 10 minutes or something. It was mental. And they just, Gladbach were in third gear the whole game as well. It's not even like Gladbach were fantastic. They just could walk right through. And I think it was the one game that Ortega just couldn't stop anything. But, Colin, a quick one just before we move on to the next part. Obviously, Hertha coming back on Monday. It's a huge game against Mainz, obviously. Mainz win that. They're 2 points off of Stuttgart, which is crazy. But Hertha win it. That's a really big kind of comment to say in what's going to happen with the rest of the relegation battle. Do you think Hertha can come out of it, or do you see similarities to what happened to Dynamo Dresden last season, where COVID absolutely killed them? And we'll come on to later, which might benefit George, that it's also kind of happened to them as well. Again, so do you think that it could happen with Hertha this season?
Well, a real positive for them is that they are playing teams down the bottom. So even getting those wins would... They're like six-pointers. When you win, it's at the cost of the other teams as well down there, like Mainz. Although, having said that, Mainz probably will be fine. They're in 34 points, so another win would probably be fine for them. But even looking at the table, if Hertha have 3 games in hand just now, if they win one of those, they'd be above Köln and they'd be in the playoffs. So it just shows that they don't really, not even that they need to come back and win every game. The games in hand that they've got, even a couple of results from them could bring them up again. But whether it will affect them negatively or not, you're not sure, because so many games in such a short period of time, you'd consider it's going to tire them out and that they won't be fresh when they come back. But seeing teams in the second tier actually done reasonably well. I think Holstein Kiel have bounced back quite well since coming back. Zandhausen looked really good. I was watching the first half earlier of Zandhausen against Greuterfurt. Actually, Greuterfurt won that, but this part of the game that I saw, Zandhausen were very good, and they performed very well against Hamburg as well. You've got to wonder whether teams come back and they'll have a real determination, because there's probably a sense of injustice with all these games having to play in such a short period of time. Maybe creates a bit of a siege mentality for them. Don't know, that's just speculation, but you can maybe see that Hertha using that in their favour when they've got so many games in hand that they can really build momentum with the games coming thick and fast.
I'm interested to see how it finishes up at the bottom, but again, it's getting really exciting. I think we quickly mentioned what's happening near the top. Obviously, I think we all kind of wrote off Dortmund. And you look at them now and they're only a point off of Frankfurt. Just quickly, do you both think, George, you can go first, do you think they'll qualify, they'll finish in the top four? Do you think the momentum's getting with Terzic now? Do you think Frankfurt or Wolfsburg, who's your one that could fall out of that if Dortmund were to get it as well?
Well, I actually think that it could be Wolfsburg that finish outside of the Champions League, and it could be Dortmund finishing above Frankfurt in third, and Frankfurt in fourth. It's a bit of an outside prediction. Yeah. That. I just think Wolfsburg's kind of maybe the pressure's catching up on them. Obviously, similar story with Frankfurt as well. But Wolfsburg have just not looked as kind of looked quite poor in the last few weeks. But the one thing I would say though is that this season, whenever you think that Dortmund are set on to do something, they tend to do the complete opposite. I mean, even like this weekend, you would have thought them going down 10 men, they would have thrown the game away and they somehow won that. But then on the flip side, whenever you feel like they're going to do well, they tend to not. I think it's probably more open than you think, partly because Dortmund are just so hard to predict this season. But I mean, Haaland looked unbelievable on the weekend, and you kind of feel like if he just plays well and the rest of the team is playing all right, then I honestly think Dortmund will probably finish third. Wolfsburg maybe to slip out, and Frankfurt finishing fourth.
Do you connect with that, Colin? That your kind of similar thoughts? I agree. I'm interested to see Wolfsburg do, but you've kind of convinced me now that Wolfsburg are going to be the ones to go down. Just for what you said there, so I'm interested to see. But Colin, were you taking it?
My instinct is Frankfurt are more likely to drop out. I mean, on one hand, they are the team in fourth there. It's a closer gap between themselves and Dortmund. And there's the Hütter factor. They seem to be slightly affected by the announcement of his departure. Losing 4-0 at Gladbach, on one hand. I'm looking at Frankfurt's fixtures, and it is reasonably favourable. They've got Mainz at home, which, as we've discussed so many times, is a tough game, but they've still got Schalke to play, which is almost a nailed-on win, and Freiburg at home. A nailed-on win. Well, you never know. Could be Schalke's third win of the season. But they've got Freiburg at home on the final game, and I think at this stage of the season, the likes of Freiburg and Stuttgart are two of the sides you want to be playing, because they've got nothing to play for in that mid-table area. Wolfsburg still have to go to Leipzig, which is a tough game. They've got Union at home. They've finished with Mainz as well. So I'd say that's slightly tougher for them. But my instinct is that Dortmund will manage to get in the top four, but as George said, it's when you trust them that they end up disappointing you. They're such a frustrating side. Mentioned Leverkusen earlier being frustrating, Dortmund equally so. The talent that they've got, so many times they let you down.
No, I agree. I also, you know, you said about the Hütter factor. If you think about it, Dortmund started that. Maybe they knew this was going to happen, because obviously they started it with getting rid of Favre to then get Rosa. And then Rosa, Gladbach started going downhill for a while. You know, they kind of dropped out where they were. And then obviously Hütter's now going to Gladbach. So Frankfurt now started dropping. Maybe this was the plan all along at Dortmund, that they were going to actually... I mean, I don't believe it either. It just came out of my head there. It makes sense that maybe it was Dortmund's plan all along, just to put Frankfurt on the downhill. But we'll move on. We'll go to George's favourite league, Dritte Liga. It's very exciting at the top. I mean, you've said plenty of times already this week you don't really want to jinx it, George, but can 1860 go up? I'm just going to give you the big question straight away. Don't want you to jinx it, but can 1860 do it? The resurgence is there. The teams are faltering. What's happening?
Well, the whole time I've been recording this podcast, I've been refreshing the kicker, live ticker, from Dresden's first Nachholspiel against Duisburg, and they're currently 0-0. And by the looks of it, Duisburg hit the post earlier and seemed to be the more dominant team. So, looks like there's a chance with 20 minutes left or 15 minutes left that Dresden might slip up again. Anyway, I'm not going to focus on any other team other than 1860. Yeah. What I would say is that since I was last on, the turnaround, I mean, you could be forgiven for absolutely forgiven for not paying attention to what's going on in the Dritte Liga, especially if you don't follow a team there. But it is quite remarkable what's happened. I mean, match day 28, just looking at the table, Dresden had a 16, Dresden were 13 points ahead of 1860 from fourth into first, and Ingolstadt were 9 points ahead of 1860 in third. Dresden, they did go into quarantine as they did last season, which eventually relegated them. Dresden are now in fourth. If they draw, they'll still be in fourth with one game in hand. 1860 are now 2 points behind Ingolstadt in second and 4 points behind Hansa in fourth. So that's that. They've gained 16 points in that time. They've won four, drawn five since they beat Dresden, which was kind of the turning point. Beat Dresden 1-0 at home. And in that time, Ingolstadt have just picked up 9 points. Hansa 11 and Dresden somehow, well, it might be two now, but they've picked up just 1 point in that five game period, which is, they have only played four games, but 1 point in those four games, which has just completely sort of turned the tables, really. Last time I was saying there was pretty much no chance. So I was quite happy to finish fourth, because fourth in the Dritte Liga means qualification for the DFB Pokal, and that's always, a good day out for the fans or whatever. But I'm still reluctant to say, because it's between four teams for three spots, and yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd rather you tell me what you think.
I don't want to tell you that as soon as you started speaking and saying that it's 0-0, that it's now 1-0 to Dynamo Dresden. I tried to hold back laughing because I'm going to go have a look. And Christoph Dafferner has been in the lead against Duisburg with 13 minutes remaining. Apologise for that. I knew as soon as I said that, I asked that question.
I told you this curse is coming.
The curse is coming. I think it'll be interesting. I don't know if the managerial change is going to hurt Dresden either. Obviously, Kasiniski being relieved of his duties at the weekend. It'll be interesting to see what... is it Schmidt that's came in? Alexander Schmidt that's came in to go for that. It'll be interesting to see if he can revitalise them with what the games have got left. I don't know if... Ingolstadt are going to have that in the back of their mind, what happened last year. Obviously, that it was in Nuremberg. I scored a late goal for Nuremberg, which, funnily enough, that happened in the relegation playoff. Don't know if that'll come back to bite them as well. I think Hansa and Rostock are probably the ones that are stuck on at the moment to go up. But the other, I really don't know the other three teams who could be that team that pushes forward. Obviously, 1860 are gaining momentum in the moment. They're doing really well. They had a good result the weekend. But it's that game, George, isn't it? It's that game against Ingolstadt, the last game, 22nd of May, isn't it? And that could be pivotal.
That's really the one that you look to. I mean, I tend to agree about Hansa. Despite the fact I still don't think they're the best team in the league. If you look at their running, they've got Ingolstadt next week, and then they've got Zwickau, Unterhaching, and Lübeck. So more or less couldn't have an easier run in. So I wouldn't be surprised if they secured promotion before the end of the last day, maybe with two matches remaining. But like you said, the last game of the season against Ingolstadt, got a far superior goal difference to them. Kind of makes you think they should even be in the promotion race with a goal difference of not plus nine, because they tend to just win games 1-0, 2-1. It's a bit embarrassing. Not that I'm bitter or have got any feelings towards them or anything. But I mean, There is. I would also like to add that if you look at Ingolstadt's running, they have got very difficult. They've obviously also got Hansa Tuesday. They have Saarbrücken on the 8th, which I think they've probably been one of the most impressive teams in the league, aside for, along with SFL, who also came up from the Regionalliga, as in impressive, but haven't quite always had the results. So that would be a tough game. And then they travel to Duisburg as well, who have been on a great run of form until presently, disappointing me now. They were unbeaten in 6, and they beat Wiesbaden 3-0 last week. Stoppelkamp as well, 10 goals, 10 assists for the season. So that would be a tough game. So I would love if they went into that game on the 22nd, and it's just a promotion party for us. But I think it's looking like you can't get away from the fact that it's going to be whoever gets real in that game is probably going to be the one to get the promotion playoff, I'd say.
Yep, it'll be interesting to see how it goes, and we hope you don't have too many heart attacks with the last few games coming up. Four games to go, and then I don't know if it'd be worse for you that it comes to the last game against Ingolstadt and it's like basically a do or die. It's a win, go up, lose, stay down. Hope that doesn't come in that. Oh, it'll be interesting and it'd be fun to see if it goes in your favour. But we hope you're okay after these next four games and you're still able to come back on the podcast, George.
And tonight after the Dresden result being announced by yourself.
Well, there's still 3 minutes.
Duisburg
can still come back at it. But Colin, what's your view on it? Basically, obviously, we'll stick to the top for the next couple of minutes. But obviously, big it looks like our friends Magdeburg and Duisburg look like they're pretty much safe. Call it our friends for some reason, because we always talk about them. We always bring them up in some form. Kaiserslautern, they're not looking so. They were on BBC TV the other night. Unfortunately for you, Colin, they were in the Kilmarnock end. Fortunately for me, that game was won by St Mirren. But they had a big flag with FCK badge and a Kilmarnock badge. Strange relationship there. We won't go into it because we don't want to get you annoyed, Colin. But top of the Dritte Liga, what was your kind of prediction for it? Are you back in George to see the 1860 will return to the Zweite Liga once again, or will they unfortunately perish in the Dritte Liga for a few more seasons to come? That was really harsh.
holding on with suspense since my predictions somehow seem to come true. I think they'll finish in the top three, 1860s, rather than the playoff or not. I can see Ingolstadt dropping out. They've dropped quite a few points recently. George will be more clued up than me, but I remember previously I'm saying that Ingolstadt weren't particularly impressive, and you've seen that in their form recently. They won the last game but had 3 draws before that, and there's not the same crowd pressure there, but they do have the financial backing, and it does seem like there's that bit of pressure, especially after throwing away last season to get promoted. They do have very well-known players in their team. If you look at the squad, like players with Bundesliga experience like Kyobe and Mark Stendera, then players in the second tier like Stefan Kuchka. They have an expensive squad and they're expected to go up. But if any of the top, Dresden as well, I think 1860 in some form will finish in the top three. It's whether Dresden or Ingolstadt are the ones that make it up. I can see 1860 being, if they finish third, they've got that momentum because their form has been so good recently, that they're in upward momentum. Sometimes you see teams in the playoff that are third and they've just missed out in promotion, like Ingolstadt last year. The playoff is like at the second best thing, so they're not going into it in like a positive frame of mind. But if 1860 managed to secure that playoff spot, they would really relish that challenge. And the teams in the second tier at the bottom are quite poor, I think. I would fancy them to beat Osnabrück or Braunschweig, to be honest. I don't know what George's opinion is on that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to come to. The next part was, if they do finish in the spot, I wouldn't really want to be facing Sandhausen at the moment, George. I don't know if that's something you agree with. I just, like Carl mentioned earlier, they're playing really well at the moment. But if it's Osnabrück, I would assume that 1860 could at least win one of the games enough to win the two legs. What's your view for the playoff if you have to go to the playoff?
I've had a change of opinion again since I was last on, and I would honestly back us to win a playoff game against the teams that would beat, only because since that 1-0 win against Dresden, we've it reflected in the results, but in the actual performances themselves, we've been, I don't want to say outstanding, but it's not just sort of the quality of football, but the intensity of which we play now. I can just really see that counting in a playoff game where you sort of need that bit of fight. And, you know, our the way we're moving the ball, the way we win the ball back. I just think it's probably going to turn out to be the exact opposite of what happens. But I just see that I like the way that we're set up to play a real fight over two legs, especially against a team that's been, you know, taking a bit of a beating all season. And you look at the run of form we're in. And if we could have a pretty strong end of the season, still end up finishing third, you know, I would be not even quietly quite confident. I would just fully back us to do it. I've kind of got to, but yeah.
No, that's a fair point. It'd be interesting to see where it comes by the end of the season. I do think that they would be able to beat a Braunschweig. I know they managed to beat Osnabrück 4-0 recently, a team of similar standard to them in the league, but I still would fancy them to beat Braunschweig. I still fancy them to beat Osnabrück. I don't even think Osnabrück will be a playoff contender, to be honest. They just seem to be really downhill. We'll maybe touch on Zweitliga a bit more next week. We kind of didn't get to fit them in as much this week. But Sandhausen could be an interesting one. I'd be a really interesting tie because Sandhausen always seem to, they're kind of like a mine, so they always seem to survive recently, the past couple of years. So it'd be interesting to see. But I think we're all kind of hopeful to see the Leuven come back strongly. And if they happen to do this year, they'll be... But really interesting to see Kerner's men in this Vita League next year. But we won't go too much detail into the Pokal, but obviously this is the only games coming up at the weekend. It's going to be the two Pokals, the semi-final games between Bremen and RB Leipzig. And then the big, I think it's most exciting one is Dortmund against Kiel on the Saturday. That'll be a really exciting one. I think we'll just kind of give a prediction of what you think is going to be instead of going in too much depth. So, George, the first game, Bremen-Leipzig. You kind of mentioned earlier when talking about Bremen that this could be a hindrance or a helpful part of the season. What do you think the result's going to be on Friday night?
Well, yeah, looking back, I don't know why I was actually thinking that Bremen would use this to kickstart the season, because I can't see them getting anything out of this. I think maybe my sort of like resentment to them has come from the fact of watching quite a lot of their games recently and being just brutally boring and terrible to watch. So even against, I don't really want to suggest that I want Leipzig to win, but they've just been so poor recently. I mean, like, even the last game against Union, you probably actually would have thought that Union have not even been that impressive recently. You just kind of felt like that's the kind of game that surely you can grind something out of, and they just were completely incapable. So I would be more opting for a sort of 3-4-0 maybe. Although Leipzig don't often do that, but that's what I'd go for.
Colin, you're Leipzig. Colin, your thoughts on Leipzig, Bremen? Do you think that this is just, do you think Nagelsmann will now use this? Like, the league's gone, obviously, but like, do you think this, obviously not mathematically because of Mainz, but do you think that Nagelsmann is now just going to put up everything into getting the Pokal and winning a trophy to end his RB career before he moves on to Bavaria, goes home.
Yes, that's what his aim should be, because that'd be such a good way to end his Leipzig reign. I can't Put me off your weird accent. You put me off by your weird accent. Yeah.
What did I say?
Did you not say he's from Bavaria or something?
Like that? Yeah. Told you it's not been a good day. It's been a bad day. So, what's your take on that, Colin? With Leipzig, do you see it being similar to George that it could be a game that at Leipzig are going to basically be full throttle in because Julian Nagelsmann wants to win that trophy before he moves to Bayern Munich? Or do you think there could be a slight surprise from our friends in the north? Well, north to me, south, east to you.
I'm hopeful of it, but I think Leipzig will prioritise this. As you say, the league is pretty much gone now. Bayern are going to win it any game now until the next game, but so really, this is a good way for Nagelsmann to bow out because, I mean, as I said before, he's not won a trophy yet and this is a great chance to do it. Like with Bayern being knocked out so early in the Pokal, it was such an opportunity for Leipzig and Dortmund to get a trophy in their cabinet again, but for Dortmund's case anyway. Leipzig is a club, I suppose. Like they've not won a major trophy yet. Such a massive chance with Bayern not being there. I would really like to see... I really wanted, with Bayern being knocked out so early, for this to be an opportunity for a club like Werder Bremen to win the Pokal, because clubs like Werder and Gladbach, and they've not won the cup for so long that it would be so great to see. But the way the draws worked out, it's looking like it's going to be a Leipzig-Dortmund final. You see Leipzig getting through quite comfortably. You only saw a couple of weeks ago when they faced Bremen, such a comfortable win for them. They beat them 4-1. The only thing I could say, it's a one-off game, it's a semi-final. Leipzig often don't take their chances. So saw at the weekend, had so many chances against Stuttgart. Kobo had a great performance, to be fair, had a lot of saves, but they were very wasteful, I thought. If they continue that form against Werder Bremen and Bremen managed to slog it to penalties or managed to maybe win by a goal, that's the only thing you can say is a hope for them. There's a one-off, but I would predict a comfortable Leipzig win.
There we go. Well, we'll segue that in with, I heard, it was either today or yesterday, that Gregor Kobel is being linked to Dortmund. So we'll go to Dortmund next, obviously. That'll be an interesting one if he ends up going there. But George, you can take the Dortmund-Kiel game. I think that's the most exciting one for me. I don't know if it's just because of the teams involved, the fact that Vitaliga team's still in it, which you usually see a lower division side that's not a Bundesliga side still in it at this stage anyway. But do you back Kiel at all? Do you think their main aspect is getting promotion? Or do you think it'd be really exciting to see them pull off a result against Dortmund? But like you said earlier, Dortmund, when they do something really good, they flatten it and they just make you disbelieve them. So what's your view on the Dortmund-Kiel game on Saturday evening?
Yeah, I think it's probably a lot more of an open game than people might think at first glance. I mean, Kiel are playing with a lot of confidence. I mean, there's still probably odds on to go up. Obviously knocked Bayern out of the cup. So having knocked Bayern out of the cup, they really have no reason to fear Dortmund, who will really have sort of all the pressure on them not to mess this one up. I think it'll probably be quite close. Like you said though, and like we were saying earlier, Dortmund are in a good run of form. It's probably unfortunate for Kiel. They've met Dortmund in the run of form that they are. Sancho back in the team as well. So if I was to predict a score, it'd be probably like a 3-1, 2-1 maybe to Dortmund. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Kiel take Dortmund quite close. But I think Dortmund will ultimately go over the line, especially because the season's also been a disappointment. Obviously, probably going to end up getting Champions League, but with the team they've got, you still will be thinking that they should have been challenging Bayern, especially because Bayern have been slipping up a bit. So they'll probably just want to get to the final and want to get the reward for having a decent enough team and having put some good performances together, especially being knocked out of the Champions League in quite unfortunate circumstances. So yeah, I think Dortmund will just go over the line.
Yeah, same for you, Colin. Do you think it'll be kind of important for Terzic to get that win in the Pokal and maybe go on and win it again? Go on and win the actual trophy as well, because obviously he's going to be looking for somewhere to go if he doesn't stay with Dortmund. But I think he will be staying. But if there's that chance that he could get a job somewhere, if he wins the Pokal, that's an opportunity for him to say, look, I've won something.
Yeah, that's true. Like, if he does want to go and forge a coaching career of his own, then the FA Pokal does look very good for that. It's just an opportunity, a great opportunity for him, but great opportunity for Dortmund as well. As I said before, with similar with Leipzig, with Bayern getting knocked out so early, it's such a great chance, particularly with the draws that they've had, the path that they've got, playing a Zweite Liga side in the semi-finals. It's a great opportunity for them. Similar to George, I think could be a good game. Like, Kiel are a very decent side. They've got good players. Got a spine of players that have been there for quite a while, like Hulk Aval, Alexander Muling, but also get good experience, like Finn Bartels, who's a player I always liked at Werder Bremen. And I think they're one of, despite them being fourth in the league just now, I think I've always been quite impressed by them. More impressive than the likes of Fürth and Bochum, I'd say, when I've seen them in the Zweite Liga. So both sides really have pressing concerns in the league as well. So with the games coming thick and fast for Kiel and the promotion run, that might be a factor that there'll be the fatigue angle might come at a cost for them. Never know, but Dortmund have the Champions League distraction as well in the league, so it's an interesting one. But in the same vein, maybe that means the Pokal is a way for them to play without that pressure, maybe away from the league.
Yeah, so the Pokal, obviously semi-final this weekend. I'm not sure, are both the games on in BT, guys, back home? Because it's Friday evening and Saturday evening for the games.
One football for Pokal.
Oh, yeah, one football. So no Pokal on for the British Wheels on the weekend, unfortunately. So there's not really going to be any too much, apart from Monday night for Hertha Mainz, so won't be much football being viewed on TV, unfortunately, in the UK. But there's the semi-finals looking quite good, actually. It's like we all kind of said, it's good not to see Bayern there. So it's kind of like the Scottish semi-finals, like this season. It's good to see not a big, well, obviously you've got Leipzig and Dortmund, but it's good to see not a team that should win it every year. So we'll move on. And I'm kind of worried, but George is going to do his first quiz. And I'm actually kind of worried for this. I don't know why. Last week did not go well. And Colin is probably still seething at the fact of that. But George, we're going to hand over to you, and you can introduce your quiz, which I don't know why. I feel like Colin's going to absolutely pummel me because he beats everyone.
Right, yeah, this is going to really pit the two of you against each other because as I mentioned before we started recording, I had planned a slightly more elaborate quiz, but that's going to have to wait. So I've gone for a good old-fashioned who am I, right? So I'm going to read out the clues, which are going to get progressively harder. So, and there's six players, so I might only go for five. And so, yeah, it's basically the first one to jump in and guess who it is. Okay.
I don't want to get to make rules and stuff, but do we have lives of how many times we can jump in and guess? Or?
Well, if you get it wrong, automatically default to your opponent. Wow. Yeah. No. Is it not as in they don't get the point, but they get the chance to get it, and then yeah. Sorry, that would be incredibly harsh. That'd be like Russian roulette of who am I?
Yeah. Okay, interesting. So six players, do you say, or five? So that's good.
Six. Yeah. Okay. Right. First player, former German national team player, not a regular in the national team anymore. A defensive midfielder. He did play at Bayern.
Sebastian the team. Rudy.
Yeah, well done.
Right. It's like he said, he doesn't play with Germany anymore. Sebastian Rudy.
Yeah, that's a good one. I was about to say on loan from Schalke, that might have been the key one to give away. So obviously the key here is to, you know, we've got balance. You know, when are you going to jump in? I suppose to letting the clues get harder. Anyway, all right. Second player. Started his professional career in Belgium. A few clues on might be what club it was if you don't get it. He scored 28 Bundesliga goals. He's a winger. He was born in the city of Kingston in Jamaica.
Leon Bailey.
Yeah, that's a poor, that would be the one.
It's only Jamaica. Well, please.
Yeah, thought that might be a bit of a good way. Right. Okay, player number three. So that's Waddle. He is a world champion, so he's won the World Cup. The team he's currently at, he was purchased from Bayer Leverkusen. However, he has been on loan at Bochum, making 61 appearances. Yep. I had a really good one, as I was going to say, subbed off in the 31st minute of the World Cup final when he got that head injury.
How about that? Okay, good. Yeah. 2-1.
Yeah, okay. Okay, 2-1, Colin. He's been in the Bundesliga since 2018. However, he was the Belgian Player of the Year in 2008. He's had spells in Portugal, Russia, and China before coming to the Bundesliga.
Axel Witsel.
Yeah. That's 3-1.
I don't know why I didn't think the Belgian link. I don't know why I didn't think a Belgian player.
It's the Russia and China part. Was...
Yeah. So, Roy, you're going to need to get the next two if you're going to claw this one back for a draw. Okay. Got another World Cup winner. Two times Italian champion. I once saw this player in an Edeka, which is a German supermarket, and he scored the decisive winner, his decisive goal in the Champions League final.
Kingsley Coman. No, wait.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, well done.
Did you speak to him
this morning? No, I was mainly confused to see him there, really. It was in like our like student village as well, so not really sure what he was doing there. Anyway, yeah, I know.
Like, that was actually like, after...
yeah, I know.
I mean, think I'll be a Munich player, though.
Yeah, it was kind of a clue that he played for Bayern, so they got to move between the lines. Right, so this one. It's just for pride. Colin's wrapped it up in emphatic fashion. But his first club in Germany was friend of the pod, FC Kaiserslautern. He plays the Swedish national team.
Marcus
Sebastian Andersson.
It is Sebastian Andersson.
Why'd they go Berg? Why was the first day and they went for Berg? Like, do you fucking think? I heard Sweden and I thought Berg. Jeez.
Yeah, 5-1, unfortunately.
That's always a hard one though, because he's really quick at everything. Ask him anything and he would know straight away. Oh well. The worst part is I knew I was going to be bad at that, but I got the hope after getting the second one. I was like, oh, here we go. And then
we set up well.
Yeah, quite like that. That was an interesting new one to take a look at. I like that very much. Cheers for that, George. Well, not cheers for that, because I got absolutely hammered. Typical. Why did I say Marcus Berg? Anyway. Anyway. That was obviously just wrap things up there. A good podcast there. A lot of information again, covering as many leagues as possible. I mean, we did cover Zweite League as well. So we covered the three main leagues in Germany, which is good. Far too much going on. And as we said at the start, if all these managerial changes are out of date by the time this goes out tomorrow, by the time you listen to it over the weekend, we apologise. But hopefully you enjoy the Pokal this weekend. Keep watching the Zweite League and the Dritte Liga as it heads into the final, the tail end of the season. It's getting really exciting. Hopefully George has not too many heart attacks for 1860. And we'll see you again soon. See you later.
And Scotland have bounced back again here.